Welcome to another Astros podcast.
This is Steve Sparks. I got a special guest today ahead of this year's draft, and it's the scouting director for the Astros, Mike Elias. First of all, thanks for joining us, Mike. It's an annual occurrence for you and I, and I always look forward to it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sparksy. Fun to see you again. This is about the only time I'm in town during the course of the year, so I look forward to it.
And you guys have been out roaming and scratching the surfaces everywhere you go, and you got all the scouts here in town, I would imagine, right now. And you guys are going to have a showcase here at the ballpark in the next couple of days?
Exactly. We've got our final pre-draft workout, which happens here in Houston at Minute Maid Park. It's an invitation workout. We get a lot of the top players from Texas and the rest of the Midwest, and occasionally some kids from across the country who we've got particular interest in. So our whole staff is here for that. And until then, we're up in our draft room in Union Station at Minute Maid Park, moving magnets around the board and discussing the players.
And it seems like the last couple of years, you guys had the high draft picks. You loaded up on a lot of position players. Has that influenced your decision to maybe go toward more pitching early on in the draft this year?
Not at all. We're not going to try to draft more pitching because of the fact that we took a couple of position players last year early. But we are picking a little later in the first round this year. We're picking 17th. And sometimes it tends to be that the best player on the board in that spot will be a pitcher a little later in the first round. So, yeah, I think maybe the odds are up a little bit that we take a pitcher just looking at this draft class. But if one of our favorite hitters falls, we're not going to hesitate to take them.
And speaking of like draft needs, a lot of people seem to feel like the organization is a little weak in catching. And you guys drafted two catchers pretty early last year in the top 10 rounds, I believe in the fourth and the eighth round last year. Two college guys, and Anthony Hermelin and Garrett Stubbs. And those guys are doing great in the minor league. So do you feel like there's a pressing need, or you just want to continue every year to get a guy or two?
You know, it's one of the toughest positions to find and draft for. And, mm-hmm. and our philosophy is you have strength in numbers with catchers.
Yeah.
So I would like to get a couple more catchers in the top 10 rounds this year. Hopefully we can. It's actually a pretty good catching class. I think there's going to be one or two catchers that go in the first round this year. We might not have a shot at those guys. But I do think, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get a good college catcher or two early in the draft. And it is something we like to continually restock.
Talking with Mike Elias, the scouting director for the Astros, drafting a little later this year. A difference, this is the latest you guys have drafted since 2009, and you're reliant upon it, a lot of other teams right now. So you just have to be ready to pull the trigger when it comes your time.
Yeah, that's basically how you do it. We're picking 17th. We will stack up anywhere from 17 to 20 names that we're ready to go to pick at that spot, and we'll just wait and see who makes it there, and whichever the top name left on our board is, that's who we're going to take. It's definitely not something we've done recently with the Astros since I've been here. But coming over from St. Louis, working with Jeff and Jeff Luno and Sig Meidahl over there, this is a sort of an area of the first round that we're accustomed to picking in, so we kind of know the drill.
And last thing with Mike Elias. Mike, what is the overall consensus on where this draft is strong?
There's a lot of really good high school pitchers, which is great because they're exciting talents and you get a lot of big stars that come out of that demographic. However, it is the riskiest type of player to draft. That's always the case. So if you're a scouting director, it's probably not the favorite demographic to have be the strongest.
Yeah.
But it is a good group this year, and it's an exciting group. And I think we're going to see 5 to 7 high school pitchers go in the first round pretty high.
And Mike, the draft is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, correct?
Yeah, the first day is Thursday night, and we'll go all the way through the second round. And then the second day on Friday is rounds 3 to 10. And then the rest of the draft, rounds 11 to 40, will be on Saturday.
Mike Elias, scouting director for the Astros. Good luck on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're all counting on you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.
Second inning, Astros with a 7-0 lead over the Oakland A's as Doug Fister set to work to A's designated hitter Chris Davis. Pleased to be joined by a couple of state champion coaches in our booth as Lance Berkman and Andy Pettit join us. First pitch is letter high for a strike. Berkman head coach, Andy Pettit, one of the assistant coaches on the Second Baptist team that won the state title this year. Congratulations to you guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lance, I saw a piece on TV one day and talking about your coaching style, and some of your players were interviewed.
Davis hits it pretty well to center. Marisnik racing back onto the warning track, runs it down, and then runs up Towles Hill, one out.
Boy, this is a showcase for the Astros, offense and defense. Marisnik making a Lance Berkman play on Towson Hill.
That's right. You got to get back there and get it.
And stayed on his feet, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little better athlete.
What's your coaching style? Because I saw, was it Lyndon Rose had a comment saying that, you know, you joke around, you do all that stuff, but when the time gets serious, you turn into a little different guy, don't you?
Well, I like to have fun. Obviously, that if you can't have fun playing baseball, then you shouldn't be out there. But I also like to see good baseball, and I like to see guys care about what they're doing. And when I think the focus isn't there, when I think that you know, they're not quite taking their job as serious as they need to, I'll get on them for sure. So,
1-0 to Yonder Alonso, and Pfister delivers a strike on the outside corner. And Andy, had to be pretty neat for you, state title, your son Jared on the team, and a pitcher on the ball club. So always neat when you get to spend time with your son, but especially for someone like you, pro baseball player, a lot of time away from your kids.
It was wonderful, and that was the move was made to be able to go over there and do that. I was there obviously last year with them, and then of course you find out that Lance is going to take the job and be the head coach. It obviously was exciting for us, for me and my boy, and it was just great. It was really enjoyable for me to watch Jared compete and play the game, and to be able to interact with him in between innings and stuff like that, and talk about pitching. And it was everything that I thought it would be. I really enjoyed it.
Driven to right center field by Alonso, and that one will get down and roll all the way onto the warning track over by Towse Hill. Alonso on his way to second base, and he'll stop there with a one-out double, second hit of the day for the A's.
Hey, I hit one right there one time and got thrown out at third base.
Really?
Hard to believe.
You were trucking for three, and your third base coach was trying to hold you up the whole time.
The only thing, they were playing in left center, though, over there, almost playing left field, so there's no way a human should have got thrown out, but I got thrown out.
Who was it? Do you remember?
I think it was Jim Edmonds that threw me out. Yeah.
It looked like they put third base on the top of a mountain when he hit second base. I mean, he was running straight uphill. It was amazing.
We were talking about that before the game. Lance was talking to the team down there. He's making fun of me. So when I saw that ball hit, I was like, that's kind of about where I hit that ball.
All the offense we had that year.
0-1 to Simeon is a strike on the outside corner. Lance, your first year as a coach, what was there anything that surprised you? Anything that a challenge you didn't expect?
Well, you know, I think it's hard to know what to expect going in. And I will tell you the one difference between playing and coaching is when you play, you're responsible for one person, and that's you. And right. When you coach, now I'm responsible for all the guys and trying to get them ready to play and, you know, coordinating the pitching. And it helps to have great assistants like I did this year. It was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed coaching.
On a scale, where do you guys put this as far as being rewarding for you guys, seeing guys not only mature on the field but off the field?
Well, for me, I mean, that's the only reason to do it. You know, we didn't necessarily need to win a state title, but it was fun getting it done. But for me, the bigger reward is just building Christ into these kids. We're a Christian school, and that's my aim as well as Coach Pettit's. And you know, just to see them develop in that way off the field was probably the most gratifying thing.
I love how Lance just called Andy Pettit Coach Pettit, by the way.
Well, it's, you know, old habits die hard. We just spent the last 4 months with these kids, and I try not to call him Andy too much.
It's the way you call your wife Mom in front of the kids.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And Andy, your last appearance as a professional ball player was at this ballpark with the Yankees, 2013, complete game victory. How long ago does that feel like that is now?
It feels like it was a long time ago, but it was absolutely wonderful. It'll go down personally, just for me personally, just as one of the most special moments in my career. That's how special it was. I think it had been 6 years since I had thrown a complete game, maybe, or 5 years. And to be able to do that my last game here with all my family and friends in the stands, and then just – you know, I was only here 3 years, you know, and just the crowd was just amazing. It was just an awesome night for me and my family, and I will absolutely never forget it.
What were some of the things going through your mind in between innings of that game? Do you remember how surreal it was?
I do, and, you know, I was getting a lot of pep talk from the guys and my pitching coach, because literally, you know, I think I had kind of strained my groin in, like, the seventh inning. And yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking there's – you know, I know that I hadn't pitched a complete game in forever. Girardi usually, once I get around, you know, 95 pitches, has somebody hot in the pen and going.
Well,
and
you're 45 years old at the time. Well, I mean, I
come on. So, anyhow, it was just special. The guys wanted me to do it. I wanted to be able to do it and have my teammates and everybody kind of backing me and then be able to get it done. Was awesome because, you know, the Astros were obviously a young team, very aggressive, but had a good ball club. So it was real fun for me to be able to do that, that's for sure.
And Marcus Semien giving you guys plenty of time to talk. He's about to see his 10th pitch in this at bat, a 2-2 count. Astros lead 7-0 in the top of the second with Alonso at second base for the A's. 2-2, and Semien hits this one down the right field line, and that one will slice foul into the seats. So Semien will see an 11th pitch.
What about the best team, Lance, that you ever played for with the Astros? Pretty easy call for you?
Yeah, I mean, well, from a talent perspective, I think 04 was probably our best year. I mean, we had Jeff Kent and Carlos Beltran for half a year, and that was when Baggy was still pretty much Bagwell, you know, before the injury really took hold, mm-hmm. and Biggio was fairly young at the time. And so we had a really good ball club. Our pitching staff was Pettit and Clemens and Roy Oswalt, yeah. And then you had Lidge shutting it down on the back end. So from a talent perspective, that was our best team. But, you know, of course, the 05 team that went to the World Series, that probably was our best team in terms of the way guys played together and the way guys pulled together after that horrible start, mm-hmm. and to claw our way back into it and then to end up in the World Series with probably the worst offensive team in the history of baseball that's played in a World Series. So.
Andy, you mentioned just the 3 years in Houston, and, of course, you're from here. How special was it to have that time in Houston? The Semien keeps fouling off pitches, by the way. He's going to see a 14th pitch here, but still a 2-2 count. How special was it for you to have those 3 years in Houston and in your hometown?
It was tremendous for me. You know, when I left New York, I had an opportunity to go to, you know, several other places. But if I was going to leave there, I was coming home. I wanted to be able to be here with my family and them to be able to see me play, being in New York, just not ever having an opportunity. And then, obviously, when you make the decision to come here, the goal is, hey, man, I want to help this organization win a playoff series. That was kind of the first goal. And then it's like once we were able to do that, it's like, all right, well, you know, now I want to help this organization get to a World Series. And so to be able to come here, kind of have that in your back of your mind is what you wanted to try to come here and do, try to make a difference and to be able to help out like I did. It was very satisfying, that's for sure.
2-2 changeup misses low, and it's now a full count to Marcus Semien, who's going to see a 16th pitch in this at bat. 42 pitches for the game for Fister.
That's stout.
Yes.
And Semien fouls this one off, bounces it to the left side, so it'll be a 17th pitch at bat.
Andy, this is about the time you make up a new grip, isn't it?
Yeah, throw a knuckleball in there. Yeah.
Looking for the pitching coach, aren't you, or the first baseman to come over and say something, give you a little break?
This one will wear on you
Ask the first baseman to throw one pitch.
Yeah.
Come back in later. I get to a point like this, I'd start making up grips.
And time called.
Doctor.
Fister was ready to deliver the pitch, stopped mid-delivery. This time granted by Mike Winters, home plate umpire. That never makes a pitcher happy.
What's a 3-2 count? You know what one thing I've noticed with Doug Fister is how strong-minded he is. He doesn't let a lot of things rattle him. A great acquisition, Andy. You can probably appreciate the way he pitches. He pitches quickly,
yep.
Very efficiently.
17th pitch of the at-bat, and that's fouled off of Gattis and rolls to the right.
We've seen plenty of him when he was in Detroit. Just great movement.
Yep.
He's a competitor. He battles his tail off out there for you.
And Semien's proven to be one of the best foul ball hitters in the league this year.
Just in this at bat alone, he's proven that. So the next pitch will be the 18th pitch to Semien. Here it comes. Ground ball left side to his left. Valbuena, he has it, throws across in time. Took 18 pitches, but finally Fister gets his man. Alonso stays at second, and there are two outs.
And give Valbuena a little credit for staying alive.
No kidding.
During that OAB, some of those guys were nodding off.
Well, y'all ran out of things to ask us during the course of that at-bat.
I mean, I'm looking at my pitch effects here, and, I mean, you see where all the pitches were, and, it, I mean, it looks like a connected dots drawing.
I wonder if that's some kind of
Lance, I've got something to ask you. What's next? I mean, what do you want to do in your coaching career? You want to stay at Second Baptist for the long haul, or do you have aspirations to go to the college level?
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually that would be something that I would be interested in doing is coaching at the college level. I enjoy certainly being at Second Baptist, and I don't have anything on the radar screen right now that would take me away from that. But at some point, I think that might make sense if the opportunity presented itself.
It's an 0-1 count to Chris Coughlin. And, Lance, of course, you went back to Rice to finish your degree because you had an eye toward doing what you've been able to do at Second Baptist, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's just, you know, kind of a feather in the cap, so to speak, to finish college, and gives you a little bit of credibility with the kids when you talk about education and how important that is. And
right.
They can't say, well, you never finished, so I don't have to. And right. I can say, well, yes, I did. And, you know, for my own kids and for the kids that I'm coaching in high school, I think it's it was beneficial, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I really did. I like going back to school and finishing up.
0-2 to Coughlin. That's high, and it's a ball and two strikes.
I would be 50 years old if I went back to college. So I'm not.
And you came out of San Jack, right?
Yeah, I did.
And I think they've got a great team again this year, too, don't they?
They do. They're in Grand Junction. They're 3-0. They've got a great club.
Yep. Woody Williams' son's on that team.
Yep. Continue to put together a great team every year.
It's a 2-2 count now to Coughlin as he's able to check his swing on a pitch that was high. Alonzo at second with two outs, top of the second. Astros lead the A's 7-0.
How much are you guys in tune to this Astros team? Were you too busy to really follow it early in the season?
Unfortunately, yeah. We've been grinding, worrying about our own guys.
Coughlin swings over a curveball and strikes out to end the inning. Second strikeout for Pfister. Works around the double by Alonzo. Well, Lance Berkman, Andy Pettit, once again, congratulations up in the lead state, Second Baptist to their fifth state title in school history. And thanks so much for joining us, guys.
All right, thanks for having us.
The Houston Astros. Radio Network.